Time don't stop, so why should you? Moving uncertain way better than not moving at all. Any mistakes made, take note and alter your course. If life is a teacher and you're always late, how do you expect to progress with the passing grade?
Welcome, everybody. I am Sharon Smith, and this is Iambic Podcast, and I am here with the man, the dancer, the videographer, spoken word artist, host, and also, if you haven't checked him out, if you got YouTube or Instagram, you love his videos, I'd like to give you 2 cents, Hernandez! Pew, 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 pew. Yeah, what up, peoples?
What's up, man?
What's going on, man? How you doing, brother? Nothing much. Well, thank you for coming out, first of all. And I also like to say congratulations on your 2020 Sammy's nomination.
Thank you.
Yeah, because in spoken word, I mean, we need that.
Thank you, man.
I mean, I know you're going to get Terry Moore, but who cares?
Props to Terry.
Props to Terry.
I'm out here accidentally doing things. I was like, what? The Sammys? And my boy loaded me up with a screenshot. He's like, yeah, put your name in the thing. I was like, what?
I was like, Terry has this thing. And I looked at Joe. I was like, oh, why don't you have yours? It's like, you didn't
man,
know.
Man, so when it comes closer to the deadline, I'm about to push that thing like crazy. It's going to be so dope. Okay. I got mixed feelings about the Sammys of Office. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to speak upon it. But I got some mixed feelings. But it'll be tight to win, though. I'm not going to lie.
Understandable. A lot of people have mixed feelings. I know a lot of people, even in the music and also in the art, that have like, eh. But then they're also surprised. Like, okay, I want that award. Like,
mixed. Yeah, mixed. It'd be nice. You ain't even get nothing big, I'm sure. But, you know, it'd be nice to say a Sammy's winner under my accolades when I'm trying to tour and stuff.
There you go. So, all right, people. So, speaking of which, man, what got you? I mean, I want to hear what got you in the poetry, what got you in the music. Man, what makes 2 cents 2 cents?
And
what's the origin story?
A lot of this and that. origin story. So, all my life, I've been surrounded by music. Nice. My father was a musician.
Okay.
Father played for the Whispers and all that stuff. So, he just kept me as his roadie, going to all his gigs and things. Not with the Whispers, but like with other gigs in the Bay Area. And then mom's is mad supportive, so she's the one that like pushes me to do things, buys me stuff when I need it for whatever I did as an artistic kid when I was younger. But my poetry really sparked, I want to say, 1918.
Oh, okay.
Like the beginning years of college, 2011, 2012.
Right.
But before then, I still actually had my first poetry book back in elementary school. And I'm reading that thing, and I'm like, yo, why was I not sent to the office for saying some of the shit I said? Talking about death and depression. I'm like, what the hell? Y'all ain't sent me to the office for this? Well, thankfully they didn't, because now I'm a dope poet.
There
maybe, to some. Maybe. I'm humble, I swear. but it was late nights in the garage. So I'm from South Sac in Elder Creek, and my house was the spot. So we would be in the garage. I remember I'd leave for my graveyard shift, and then I would come home from my graveyard shift, and then they would still be in the garage rapping and catting off, drinking booze and all that stuff, and then they wouldn't let me go in the house after my graveyard shift until I spit something and you know what I'm saying, kicked with them a little bit. So little by little, my chops got up in the freestyle game.
Okay.
And then my brother Coon the Poet was one of those people.
Shout out.
And yeah, shouts out to Coon the Poet. Yeah, man, it's just him. His pen is so nasty, bro. And then I'm like, yo, like all my brothers in the garage was just nasty. And I'm like, okay. I was peeping game the whole time. I was kind of quiet about it. I was freestyling stuff. But then it really sparked to do open mics. My boy RJ invited me out to an open mic, Midtown Out Loud. I remember Midtown Out Loud with Heather. Fantastic environment, and it was a great way to start my journey into the world of spoken word. Then I did my first piece there, which was called Eventually, and just fell in love with entertaining people in that way since. I've always been a dancer too, so I've always been entertaining people, like competitions, showcases, all that stuff.
Right.
So, yeah.
But no, but you've done that. You also been out to Stockton, mm-hmm. did poetry out there too with Brandon Lee. Shout out to Brandon.
Shout out Brandon.
And you also even particularly did my hot poetry in the park.
I did.
And you would do that with Just Is.
Yeah.
And so I mean, I think I'm gonna get you into this building too. So you never know where it's at. I'm gonna get you in here.
Right. I didn't know it existed. Narnia?
But you say you've always been a freestyler. So what is it about? Is it the rap side that always gets you more into the slam part, or is it the slam part that gets you into the rap side?
See, I wouldn't even call myself a slam poet as little as I do slam.
Okay.
So I think spoken word would be the main category, but I for sure think the hip hop part of it, like some of my influences were Common, Lupe Fiasco, and even early Kanye. Watching Def Poetry Jam or Def Jam Poetry. Kanye caught my eye, and then it was this black guy, like all that stuff, all those people on that show caught my eye, and then I was like, "What? Erykah Badu does this too? And John Legend, what the hell? Common, doing it again?
Yeah.
Common, Mos Def. Black Thought, like everybody over there inspired me just to, like, yo, maybe I can do this, but I never really like, thought to do it. But I was like, hey, it would be tight to do this.
Right.
And that's why in my journey, I didn't get started until I was like 18, 19. I'm 26 now, so I've been trying it for a while.
Okay.
But yeah, and then definitely jazz influences as well. I tend to like, whenever I do try and make music, I'll put like some jazz influences behind my instrumentals and stuff. Like I'll throw pennies at myself, nickel and dime it,
right?
So I don't overpower it with music. But yeah.
Okay. Speaking of which, so you did quit your 9-to-5.
Yes.
As I read, that was when did you do that?
Last year, March 29th was my last day working at Apple, and then April 1st was my first day.
Oh, you worked
day.
At Apple?
Yeah, I worked at Apple for 2 years.
Me too, boy.
They got good benefits and all this stuff. Shouts out Apple. But man, I can't be answering phones or doing video for no other company for a long time, man. It's just so mediocre, and I felt icky.
Right, you know what I mean? Feel your pain.
Yeah, I told myself when I graduated college I'd never get a call center job. Boom.
You got a call center.
Worked at corporate Apple. Come on now. What you doing, Ali? Write a poem about that.
Speaking of which, so since you have been now working on your own,
mm-hmm.
how is that feeling? I know the tension, even when I do it, the tension now of what they used to take care of and stuff, now you got to take care of it.
And the question is, have I taken care of that part yet?
Hey, it's workable.
So, man, it's very, I've grown so much as an entrepreneur. I've grown so much, man. And I'm that person that always, I'm a go-getter for sure. I always find ways to get shit done. And so I kind of prep myself before I leapt. Like after the first year working at Apple, I'm like, miserable. I don't like answering these phones. I'm always scared I'm going to get a bad call. And then I peaked at Apple so far too, so fast.
Okay.
I peaked hecka quick. I went into Apple thinking, I'm about to be in the video department when I get into Apple. In my second year there, I was the video production manager at Apple quick. But then I was bummed to learn that, this is only a 6-month period.
Oh.
You can keep this. And then you have to wait 6 months and go back. I was like, what? My peak is temporary. So that kind of helped push me over the edge. And then conversations with my friends, one of my friends, was like, honestly, do you think that if you quit your job, your friends will let you live on the street or your family or you go hungry? I said, no. And so a little bit after that, I'm not happy. And so for the last 2 months of me working at Apple, I plot and planned, okay, how can I have residual income? Because retainers is what's going to make me able to do this.
Right.
And then I quit off of maybe retainers.
Okay.
And then so I became a videographer. I'm still a videographer or photographer. And that's how I make most of my money. Or I'll sell merch at shows. I do So Far Sounds, Far Sacramento. And then I actually did a tour, Northwest tour, Portland, Seattle, and Vancouver, late last year with Bassy Vibe.
Oh, okay.
So it was me and him. We did a little stint up there. And so I'm just, Man, it's stressful.
But what is you see potential for it?
I think it's past its potential.
Okay.
I just gotta be a grown ass motherfucking man now and do the shit. I'm like, yo, why am I sitting on this couch when I could be plotting and finding clients? But I kind of got to where the clients find me now.
Nice.
Which is dope. Something that stuck with me when I graduated college was I was walking down to get my fake certificate they give you for the ceremony.
Okay.
And I walked past my video production professor.
Okay.
She was like, yo, your charisma is going to take you so far in life. I didn't know what that meant. And like, I'm starting to like realize how important it is to shake somebody's hand or how important it is to be that light in the room. And I'm naturally that light in the room most of the time. So man, that's taken me so far to where clients find me now off of a good rep. I mean, I probably have some bad reps with people too. I'm just saying, but man, I've just grown and learned so much after quitting my job, man. And being able to provide for myself off of my own hustle,
right,
it's extraordinary. I'm like, I'm so blessed. I went to 2020 blessed as shit. I left 2018 blessed as shit.
Nice.
Because I had the courage enough to quit in 2019. So man, something's happening.
There you go. And speaking of which, so since you went on a tour and stuff, and you've done, how does it feel being, how does it feel with you and your crew, the Goodfellas?
Yeah.
Basically, a dance team here, and a dance crew in Sacramento and stuff. So speak on them and stuff. So.
Okay, for sure. Man, the Goodfellas are a big, big part of me curating myself into an artist. Huge part. And I felt right at home as soon as I joined them. They're really big on growth.
Okay.
Right. If you stagnate, then you suck. One of the first things I learned joining the Goodfellas is how do you be good? Don't suck.
Mm.
And so that tough love was so familiar with me, with my brothers from my neighborhood and my brother in general, like just my family. And so I just didn't want to suck. And like, that's so funny. They opened my eyes to the freestyle world of dance.
Okay.
Because I've always been a dancer. Never really did choreo. I was always a freestyler. I started off as a turfer, and now I'm like this pop housing beat your feeder. But they opened my eyes to what it is to really value yourself as an artist, really value your craft. And the Goodfellas really curated an ideal brotherhood / sisterhood with individuals. And I was able to really bond with people on an artistic level, which greater influenced my ability to project, to reach. And then before the Goodfellas, I was in a group called Press Play.
Okay.
And in college before that, I was in a group called Sac Modern. They all taught me family values and believing in a craft too. But it wasn't until the Goodfellas that I really understood, yo, this is something to be proud of. This is, you're an artist. Like, I never thought of myself as an artist until I really joined the Goodfellas. And a little before that, one of my friends told me, my friend told me, as an artist, it is your job to pull your audience into your world, right? And then I brought that mentality from Press Play into Goodfellas, and then I started really becoming passionate and sincere about getting better at dance. And then they pushed me to be a better person / artist / dancer. And that just broadened my mind on, yo, what an artist is. So that actually plays a very heavy influence on the way I do my poetry, my spoken word. Because now, not only, even as we're talking right now, I'm using my hands a lot of projection. And I learned that the loudest in the room doesn't gotta make noise.
Right.
Like, I can speak to you. Even when we did, we would do simple stuff on stage. We won first place a couple times doing simple shit.
Nice.
Just a little stare and a nod, you know what I'm saying? But it's that contact with the audience. The Goodfellas also taught me how to have a good contact connection with the audience, the projection of your body. And then I relate that to my projection when I speak. And then I literally make it a mission to try and look everybody's eyes in the audience. And that's very reaffirming because recently, or this was reaffirming, something recent happened that was reaffirming to that. I went to Prentice Powell's show in Stockton.
Okay.
And then he said the same thing. He makes it a point to look at everybody in the audience. And then in me doing that, that reaffirmed it. I already did it, but that reaffirmed that I'm doing it right. But in doing that, and this is what I got from the Goodfellas too, you know who you resonate with when you're in the audience. Like, okay, I got you. Okay, let me direct all my energy to this one person now. Okay, because you're really feeling this and you're really going through this. All right, and then so, and honestly, being on the Goodfellas showed me what it feels like to win. I'm like, yo, I want to win more.
So speaking of that, you want to win more and stuff. There's a thing that they basically put out in the poetry community and stuff. They basically got the literary poets who basically are in the books, writing the books, writing the publishing the books. And then you got the performance or the stage poets, the ones that are on stage rocking out, basically projecting their message out to the world and stuff. But they also call it the page versus the stage.
Yes, 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 page poets.
Do you see yourself as comfortable being a page or the stage or both?
Definitely a stage poet. I only recently really put my words into a book recently, like handwritten. It was a gift. It was a very sincere gift. It was asked upon me. It took all my umph to sit down with my ADHD ass and write down words onto this page, these pages here. Right. But I definitely see myself as a stage poet. I adore the stage, and I love attention. And I have learned how to kind of use that to my advantage. Because now I love attention, but now I can use my attention to give you something now.
Hope, like happiness, is cause for your own. You can be light for some, but you need to be bright for your own. I hope that one day I can look up and know that there's a star somewhere with my name on it. And when I find it, I'll aim for the moon and miss on purpose so I can sign on the dotted lines, create a contract with angels and seal it, making it legally binding. I hope that I have guardians overwatching me each day, and I hope that they see my great moments and mistakes. They know that every day I acknowledge that I'm not perfect.
So I would definitely categorize myself as a stage poet versus a page poet. I do want to write maybe a book soon or a chat book or something like that, because Lord knows my iPhone is full to the brim with a bunch of shit stuff and things, and I would love to put shit stuff and things onto a paper and sell it or just to get my stuff out there as a gift. I don't know, but those are definitely next steps that I'm trying to prepare myself for. I'm not really making leaps and bounds toward that direction because I just want to stick on stage, and I'd rather sell merch like clothes and stuff versus chat books and stuff right now, because my words are very sensitive to me.
Right, they're very powerful.
And like, just to put it into a book and give it to you, like, how do I know you're not going to take my shit? Yo, I wrote this. But, I mean, that's just, like, far-fetched thinking, but that's how far I would go. But, yeah, man, I'm definitely a stage performer, poet. The spoken word is my shit.
Right. So, since you do love the stage and stuff, I do know that you also are a host.
Yes.
Over at The Behold, open mic, over at Get a Clue.
Yeah.
Dogos, that's the first Tuesday of every month.
Correct.
So and I know it's a paid one. You have to pay for entry and stuff. So talk about that. See.
Yeah. So for the longest, I've been a part of a couple of crews, not crews, but groups. My main crew is the Goodfellas, of course. But then I've been a part of a group called the Nightwalker Sessions.
Oh, okay.
And the Dane Gang, right? So the Nightwalker Sessions and Dane Gang are known for the events they throw. And I help them throw those events, and then I become the videographer for those events. So shouts out to Nightwalkers and Dang Gang. And then even in the Goodfellas, they threw events called LITM, right? But I was always doing for other groups, always using my expertise. And then even doing those different events, I've kind of cultivated this arsenal of knowledge of how to do these things. And I never really thought about doing it myself. And then I was asked to. I was like, I don't know yet, man. I don't know if my chops are big enough. I don't know if my name is big enough in the scene yet. I don't know. But then I was like, you know what? Let me just ask, right? So I went in to Get a Clue one day randomly just to buy something. I was with my boy Paul, Concept. And I see Justin there, the owner of Get a Clue, one of the owners of Get a Clue. I was like, hey, bro, you guys ever think about doing an open mic here? He's like, no, actually. I mean, we had a So Far Sound show here, but we never had an open mic, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, can I pull your coattail on this? And then I put a bug on one of their ears, and we sat down and start talking, and it kind of became a thing. I was like, oh, shit, Ale, you really about to do this. This is crazy. And I had my boy Concept with me because, you know, he can talk to people really well. I mean, I can too, but he knows the ins and outs of talking to people. So I was like, okay, you my mental muscle for this. At first, it was called Trade Fair because I wanted it to be like a fair, like a spot where you can sell shit and all that shit, and well, merch basically, and buy stuff from Get a Clue, but also trade your arts. So it was called Trade Fair at first, but then Sushi, my boy Sushi, is like, yo, we have a fair trade at Drake's The Barn. I was like, oh, bro, you're right. Shit, I didn't even think about that. Damn. He's like, he hit me a little hint. I was like, bro, loud and clear, bro, loud and clear. And I was like, yo, this is the perfect opportunity then to name it Behold, because Behold was actually an entity itself way before the event was a thing.
Oh, okay.
Because I wanted to create a platform to glorify sacramental artists. So okay. I made an Instagram for it. I couldn't really dedicate it to it because I was working a 9-to-5 and all that stuff. Now I'm working my own self 9-to-5, so I still haven't really been able to really dedicate all my energy to that social media platform yet. But Behold was a thing, and with the purpose of glorifying artists. I've had a couple people go on there and do interviews and performance shots that's on the Instagram page right now. But then I was like, yo, this is a perfect time to do something bigger with Behold.
Okay.
And so now there's Behold Open Floor.
Open floor. Okay.
So it's an open floor. It wasn't open mic. I mean, it's always been open floor, but I think it was best to change the name from open mic to open floor.
Okay.
Because I want this to be a niche for art. I want you to come here and dance, sing, rap, do spoken words, stare at the audience for 5 minutes. I don't know, but just know that you're paying $7 to do this.
Okay.
And my boy Jamesy actually recently told me, yo, it's bold that you're charging.
That's what I was gonna say.
It's very bold that you're charging. I was like, well, you know what? The purpose of me charging isn't for me to profit. I also wanted to create a platform where I can pay artists to be features because I know what it's like to be an artist and get asked all the time to do something for free.
Right.
And I want to see my man hours get paid off of it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, the charging at the door is solely to pay for people's employment.
Right.
Pay for people. I'm not going to say employment because this isn't a company that I'm trying to employ people. Pay people for their time
yeah.
For their craft. Like if somebody eventually, and then it's right now it's volunteer based, but eventually I want to be able to have enough attendance to make enough money to pay my doorman, my security, my sound guy, my all this stuff. And I'm working on a grant right now to get that done. But ultimately my goal is to pay the artist.
Okay.
Pay the artist and have a very intimate venue where people could experience that. And it's such a dope venue. It's fucking Get a Clue. Get a Clue has been here since, what, 92?
Okay.
And Get a Clue is like a main streetwear company in Sacramento that's just been here for so long. And so why not use that? And so I'm so glad I've developed that relationship with them to be able to hold this, Behold there. So yeah, the purpose of paying, the bold move of paying wasn't for my pocket. It's so I can pay my features so that people can know that, yo, you are valuable. You are worth your time. Let me pay you. Oh, you got 4 people in your band? Shit. All right, let me see what I can do.
and being that it's in the Doka, that's a prime real estate spot.
Yeah.
So it's beyond places like Luna's and stuff where they're kind of further away out and they're more in Midtown.
Mm-hmm.
That's more in the Doka area right next door to the stadium.
Correct.
Or the center.
Yeah.
So people can see that as, oh, okay, well, if you're going to the mall, hey, you might as well go there too. It's right next door over there. So
right.
I can see that.
Very, very true. And it's dope because, yo, it's after hours.
Yes.
There's no, like, a bunch of traffic and all that stuff. So the exclusivity of it is becoming that much better.
Okay.
So it's, I think it's well worth the $7. Okay. I think it is well worth the $7. But yeah. I was bold on purpose.
Touche.
I was bold on purpose.
And speaking on what, so is your company? What is your company called? Are you managing a company, 2 Cents Production or something like that?
Yeah. So
media.
I'm a freelancer.
You're a freelancer.
I don't officially yet have an LLC. I don't know how much I can say about that.
You don't
that
need to get an LLC to be a company.
I know that, but you know what I'm saying, tax purposes and tax seasons, blah blah blah. Blah. But I brand myself as a company, I guess, now. It's kind of hard for me to believe that. I don't even think of myself as an entrepreneur. I'm just a dude that makes money doing what he does.
That's normal in the world.
Right. That's the definition of the word, probably.
Yep.
But it's crazy for me because I don't see this as like a company, but I guess I should start seeing it so it become organized and more legitimate. But I guess you would say 2 Cents Productions. I kind of just came up with 2 Cents Productions because I needed a name just to address myself as what I do. I don't even know if I like 2 Cents Productions, but I've been 2 Cents Productions for a while now, so I don't have to change it. But yeah, I guess it's just my company. It's an umbrella for everything I do. And eventually, you know, maybe I'll become more established to where I can hire people. I definitely like refer people to different jobs and stuff that I can't do. But so I guess just a company. It's me as a whole. It's me via photography, videography, spoken word, hosting, dancing, whatever I got to do to make my ends meet, man. So that's what I'm trying to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
So since that's the case and stuff, why don't you give the people out there your social media where they can find your work, where they can find you at? Yeah.
So on Instagram, it goes 2 cents, and it's not the cents, like the money. 2 cents. So TWOSENSE.AH. Or for my media page, it's 2 cents, TWOSENSE.media. Yeah, and follow me on Instagram. I don't really have a... I used to have a website, actually just expired. I don't got the funds to refund that or to renew that website domain yet. But... I mean, I'm on Instagram and then Facebook. I'm not really on Facebook a lot, but I'm on Facebook. Ale 2 cents Hernandez. Ale with the accent going to the right.
Yes, I know that. I don't know that.
But yeah, those are my social platforms. YouTube. I'm not really on YouTube no more. I'm not going to give that out yet. Let me go ahead and build it up first.
Okay.
But all my stuff, you can find it on Instagram.
Okay.
For the most part.
Yeah. Any events coming up that you're going to be in?
Yes, actually. Training. So this month on the 29th, let's see, I'm about to go to Paul Willis's page because he just posted it again. Ariel Deem. I don't know if you know who Ariel Deem is. This fantastic singer. Fan fucking tastic. She came up out of nowhere just blowing by storm.
Okay.
She's throwing an event called Bring Change, a benefit festival. It is at the Oak Park Brewery.
Okay.
At Oak Park Brewing Company on the 29th. And okay. It's from 4 to 10. So I'm going to line up with a bunch of hitters here. I actually just had the privilege of doing a show with Jamesy.
Okay.
His last, well, not his last show in Sacramento, but the last show before moving to LA. I'm so fucking honored for this. I got to be on stage with some dope ass Sacramento legends, man. Right. You got to have me open and close the show with poetry.
Oh, that was that the one over at the Guild?
It was that one. Yeah, it was the offline show by Hoff.
Oh, nice.
And then I have something else. I forgot, though. I'm not going to lie.
Do you have anything in March coming up or anything?
Tell me what?
You got anything going on in March?
In March. Let's see. This is why I need a secretary because my man.
You and me both.
My head is the land of a thousand dances, bro. So March, I'm not going to be performing in it, but I'm going to be helping run it. It's an event called Her Power.
Hmm.
It's an event to glorify women in the street culture, hip hop community.
Okay.
That is March something as well. Boom, 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 boom. Nope. Okay. Just follow me on Instagram. But remember the group Nightwalkers I was telling you about. So Nightwalkers are the Dang Gang and they throw that every year.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, we just then be on the lookout. If you want to follow them too, Nightwalker Sessions, at Nightwalker Sessions or at Dang Attire. They're who I used to spend a lot of time with too, doing video and stuff. If you guys want some dope events that are coming up, follow them too. Also the Goodfellas, the.Goodfellas. You know what I'm saying? Mafia out here.
So is it a D-E or is it a D?
T-H-E. Okay. T-H-E dot the. Goodfellas. Yeah, 916.
Okay.
But yeah, man, I'm out here just doing stuff.
That's what I'm saying. Hey, y'all got to watch out for 2 cents himself. He's doing work. And if you want to get a hold of him, remember, he is a videographer. He can take your videos from breaking, dancing, to doing weddings and stuff. So be on the lookout.
Facts.
You give him. So, yeah. And thank you, 2 cents, for coming on here. Yes. And if y'all want to find out more information about Iambic, please go to iambic.blogspot.com or you can go on the Facebook Iambic Mag, or you can go to Instagram Iambic Zine, Z-I-N-E. And if you don't know how to spell Iambic, Iambic is spelled I-A-M-B-I-C. So get Iambic and Zine put together, boom, you'll find us on Twitter, Facebook, and also on Instagram. And check back here. We'll put this on all streaming services. I am a podcast. is also on iambic.podbeam.com. All right, y'all, check care. All right, take care. Bye.
She.